Christianity is not just about getting healed and delivered, church. Christianity is about laying your life down. It's about repenting for your sins. It's about living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. We need to be people that see error and be people that get on our knees and pray when deception runs rampant. In the church, God has not stopped being the God of power. Actually, the Bible says every word of God is power. He has not stopped moving in power, never. The reason that I'm bringing this forward is because the Lord said very clearly, make sure you speak it out and include her name. There are truly still prophets today, and there also are abuses. And just like everything else, there's what's good, there's what's pure, what's true, and then there are abuses, unfortunately. But it just shows that the church needs to grow in discernment. We as a church body must grow in discernment, correct? And we as a church don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We believe in all the office gifts. We believe in the move of the Spirit. We believe that God still heals and is never stopped. We believe God still delivers and never stopped. We believe God still saves and never stopped. We believe in the atoning work of salvation, that it's all salvation, healing, and deliverance, right? It's all wrapped up in the salvation that he has purchased for us with his blood. But we also believe that he speaks through his word to each individual today. In Hebrews 1, let's go to chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you, starting in verse 1. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He will speak to us. Each and every one of you should be able to hear the voice of God, the leading of his Spirit. So in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand, majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So, spoken to us by his Son in these last days. We know that the word will speak to us. Amen? We should all be able to hear from the Lord, from our reading, from our walk, and discern what the Lord is speaking. And that doesn't nullify that there are still men, women that God deems as prophets, but we need to be wise and discerning and make sure that we're not in believing such, that we're not following a charlatan, that we're not following someone that is not of the Lord but professes to be. We need to be careful of what we expose ourselves to and whom. You must know the spirit of which a person carries, because there are too many things that are so familiar and look the same but are not the same. Not every healing comes from God. Not every so-called deliverance is of the Lord. You must know the spirit of truth. We must rightly divide the word of God. We must be Bereans studying the word of truth. We must have a relationship with the Lord ourselves so that we can discern right from error, in spite of and regardless of what their lips may be speaking to you. You must be able to hear the voice of God and not depend on one man and one woman to do so. We must be able to hear ourselves in this last day and in these last hours of the church in the way we know it. Because we know we're going to live forever. And we know that we're going to be able to give glory to the Lord forever. And we know that he's coming for a spotless bride. And we know that we're coming back and we're going to rejoice and we're going to rule and reign with Christ. But in the way we know it, today, we really must have the discernment of God, have that innocence like a dove, but that wisdom, right? We must have to have, and the boldness, bold like a lion. We must have this. And I believe, and I know from the word, that if you yield to the Spirit of truth and you're in your word, you're reading your Bible, you will not be deceived. You will not be deceived. Now, I have brought various messages in the past, and I have spoken about certain teachings that were not of God. And I have tried, and I've exposed teachings that are not of God. I have not called out their names. I have called out names one-on-one and in small groups. Of course I have. I've exposed what needs to be exposed where I felt it was needed. And I would not do so unless the Lord led me to do it. At this moment in time, and what the Lord has spoken to me just this morning, when he said, I want you to write, because I'm going to give you prophetic words and you're going to call those people out, of which I have done. But this very moment, this morning, changed up the whole message. And he said, I want you to speak on a certain topic because the church is being so deceived and we cannot allow it. We cannot allow it. Now, I want you to hear my heart from the very beginning. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I know my offices. I know the mantles that I walk in. I don't need to shout them out. I don't need to declare them and speak them out. It should be obvious. A life should speak for itself, right? With that said, I also want you to know there's no joy in calling individuals out. There's no, oh, this is wonderful. I was waiting for this day. Quite the opposite. We need to be people that see error and be people that get on our knees and pray. When deception runs rampant in the church, it hurts people. When deception runs rampant in the church, it keeps people from going further to Christ, the heart of the Father. It keeps them from what's good. And it keeps them remaining in deception because it feels safer. Because they see things that are taking place that are not pure, that are not holy, and they're afraid. And do you blame them? Do you blame them? Now, you're all looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, and maybe some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but by the time I'm done, you will. You will know. You will know very clearly. I literally opened up my phone this morning, and he said, write these out. I said, okay. How many of you guys have heard of Catherine Crick? Half of you? Can I see a show of hands? Because I want to, okay, that's much more, and that makes more sense as to why I needed to bring this up. On Saturday night, I had to confront somebody from this church that was doing something that I would deem certainly not of God, but being a one that divides the body, one that brings in deception, one that wants to bring in confusion, one that wants to bring craziness, which is deception, which is of the devil. Sending someone that is, I had to confront someone for sending videos of Catherine Crick to someone that is, I would say, newer in the Lord, growing, not as maybe not as further along as some of you. Are we supposed to protect and guard and safeguard those that are younger in the Lord from wickedness? Of course we are. Over the years, I have gone up to individuals regarding Catherine Crick, and I have spoken to individuals from the very beginning, and I have warned them against this woman. I've warned them against this woman from the day one when I heard about her. I did not know anything about her. I didn't know she had a spiritual father. I didn't know anything about that man. Discernment. And prophetically, the Lord said to me, I had such a check in my spirit. Maybe some of you did too. Maybe some of you did too. But he spoke to me regarding her. And now it's becoming very apparent of the many ungodly practices and wrong spiritual foundation that's being spewed all around the world. The reason that I'm bringing this forward is because the Lord said very clearly, make sure you speak it out and include her name. Because I've spoken on this. And if you could read between the lines, you'll know. And if you knew me, if you know me enough, you would know. But he said, no, there are still too many that don't know. You need to be very clear. Hence today's message. I don't hate anybody. This is not a message of hate. It is a message of sounding the alarm because too many are being deceived. Too many are being deceived. Just because someone professes to be able to cast out a demon, are they really casting out a demon? Or are they putting more in? Are they manifesting and it's not really free? Sometimes manifestation is not the sign of freedom. It's the sign of manifestation. It's just a demon manifesting. A changed life is a freedom, is the freedom. Do you realize that if the vessel that's praying over you is not holy, they can impart demons? And that's what takes place a lot of times in many, not even just her, but other ministries too. You need to know who's laying hands on you. That's why I always tell you, I don't let people lay hands on me. Not because I think I'm so much better. I don't at all. But I know the importance of staying pure, and I know how spirits can be transferred easily. That's why it's important that you come here. You know the heart of the ministry. You know you can safely receive prayer. You can't go anywhere and safely receive prayer. So now many messages, the people are now starting to expose her ungodly practices. Well, you know, I heard about her back in 2017. That's when I heard about her. And now I'm hearing of so many that are coming out and speaking out against the practices that she is doing. But at one point in time, they were a part of it. At one point in time, they promoted her. At one point in time, they were good with what she was doing. And now their eyes are being opened. Well, praise God for that. Praise God, right? But we cannot take everything at face value. And the church is so careful about being good Christians that we can't say anything bad against somebody. But we're called to judge fruit in the church. In believers, we are called to judge fruit. So unfortunately, what's taking place, and I'm going to get to some scriptures because the Lord gave these to me today, just this morning. But unfortunately, what's taking place is both her and her spiritual father, which is a warlock, by the way, fully operating in witchcraft, disgusting, horrible. Is that a righteous anger? You better believe it, because we need to wake up. Because if you know and recognize, do your sons and your daughters? Does this generation know and recognize what's being spoken and done? Christianity is not just about getting healed and delivered, church. Christianity is about laying your life down. It's about repenting for your sins. It's about living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Healing and deliverance is part of the package. Praise God for it. But that is not the fullness of the gospel. And if we can't learn in church how to be a better Christian, how to love one another better, if we can't learn in church how to be a better wife, a better husband, a better son, a better daughter, a better employee, if we can't learn how to love God with everything within us, if we can't learn in church how we are to not just think it's all supposed to be good all the time, lay your life down. Let God do what he needs to do. Let him remove what he needs to remove. Let him teach you. He's the greatest teacher. And he is the greatest counselor. And he's the perfect peace. He's the father of the prince of peace. He'll lead and guide us. But we have to have a balanced church. We must. And I'm talking about a church at large. I'm not getting down on you here. Because I think you all, at least most of you, have the same heartfelt understanding about what the deception that's going on right now in at large. So I'm not getting down on you. I am speaking it out because if there is one or two of you that didn't know, you'll know it now where I stand. I literally had somebody come up to me the other day when I spoke this to them. They said, oh, I didn't know that's where you stood. I was shocked. I'm like, wow, okay, that's news to me because I thought I made it pretty clear. But I'm going to make it really clear under the unction of the Lord today. Amen. It's demonic. She's operating under a demonic spirit. I believe she's thoroughly deceived, but she's also deceiving other people. I believe she's deceived. I believe she was searching for fame and for power, which right there is a big check. Red flag. You shouldn't be searching for fame. You shouldn't be searching for power. You should be searching for a life that's truly humble before God by laying your life down, repenting, right? But I believe that she is deceived. And deceived because she started off searching for fame. But she's also deceiving others. And like I said, there are many in the church. It's not just her, but he said, speak it out, that are deceiving others. There's pride. There's all kinds of witchcraft. And the more will be exposed. By the way, just get ready. You think we've been having exposure? Just get ready because there's going to be a whole lot more of exposure. Yes. Yes. 1 John 4:1 says, test the spirits. You can turn there. We can even put it up. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test or try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I started this message by speaking about the office of a prophet, how they're supposed to hear from God, but in reality, how we're all supposed to hear from God. Because there are so many people that will call themselves a title and abuse that title, but we are called to test the spirits, regardless of what they may or may not call themselves. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but test all things. It's another scripture that tells us we are called to test all things and hold fast to what is good. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. Jude 1:3. Beloved, although I made every effort to write to you about the salvation that we share, I felt it necessary to write and to urge you to contend earnestly. It's what I'm doing here today. To contend earnestly for the faith entrusted once for all to all the saints. We need to contend for what is pure and contend for what is right. And be willing to expose what needs to be exposed under the unction of the Lord when he tells you to do so. In Acts 17 and 11, it says, now the Bereans, a Berean is one that studies the word of God. Now the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if these teachings were true. I've told you to do that many times. I've told you, make sure that you go and you are a good Berean. Don't just take the word just because I spoke it. Because then wouldn't you be doing the same thing that some of these people are doing and idolizing their leader and putting them on a pedestal as if they could never make a mistake or say a wrong thing? Right? We want to make sure that we are Bereans studying the word for ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong, there should be honor in the house. But honor is not idolizing. It's two different things. One day we're going to stand before the Lord by ourselves, each one of us, and we're going to give an account for the things we said, things we did, things that are not repented of yet. Just last night, I was talking to somebody that needed counsel regarding something that took place, and I shared with her this scripture because she thought that everything that was already repented of, she was still going to have to give an account of. No, it's the things that are not yet repented of. It's a good idea to repent now, huh? So we're not standing before the Lord one day having to give an account for these things that we're not going to be able to give an account for. But in Acts 17:11, it says, to be a good Berean. So go and study. Listen, when you take notes, Or if you rewatch the teachings, go and study for yourself. Make sure that what I'm saying is truly coming from God. And in doing so, you're going to learn the word even more. In doing so, you're going to be able to grow in your discernment. Your ears will hear, this is the way. Follow after it, right? Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for the mature. Solid food. We don't need to come here. This is not a rah, rah, rah. Let's just encourage everybody. Rah, rah, rah. Encouragement is great and has its place. I encourage one another, each one of you. But at the same time, solid food. It's important that you get solid food. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use. That means maturity comes through your continuous eating of God's word. Not just once a week. Not just once in a while. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. When we read and we understand the word of truth, not what tickles our ears, not what feels good, not what makes us happy. And God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be joyful. But he wants you to be holy, more importantly. He wants you to be set apart, more importantly. Joy comes from his presence. Joy comes from a life that's yielded to him. Joy is not truly happiness, because happiness comes and goes. Happiness is circumstantial, but joy is from the Lord, right? So by solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. That's what we need to be. That's what the church needs to be, having solid food, that by constantly being in the word, your senses are discerned. You are discerning what is of God and what is not of God. And then in Matthew 7:15, it tells us to be careful. It tells us to be aware. Matthew 7:15 says, be aware of false prophets. Just as there's pure, there's also false. That's why we're called to test every spirit. So Matthew 7:15 says, be aware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. You may not necessarily discern on the outward that this is a false prophet. Outwardly, they may look very nice, very calm, non-threatening, but you're still judging by appearance, aren't we? We cannot do that. Be aware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. Cannot be the church of the deceived. You cannot be the church of, oh, we're supposed to just be nice. Cannot be the church that, oh, well, we just need to think what's best for other people. You know, think the best. Think the best. I just want the best for that. I'm just going to think the best. We need to be a church that's truly discerning. Love always wins, but love doesn't turn a blind eye. There's a grace that God gives for all of us. Praise God for his grace, his mercy. It's unending. We need his grace. We need his love. We need his mercy. But we also need to understand that there is also a judgment from God. And he gives us time to wake up. And he will cause people to sound the alarm. And he will cause people to speak truth. And we need to heed to the truth and not become part of the deception. Right now, there is a world of people being so thoroughly deceived, it's sickening. It's repulsive. And those are strong words. And I'm saying those strong words on purpose because it is. Because what if they were your sons, daughters, your children that have bought into this lie, into this web of deception? And when they find out the truth, are they going to even want to follow after the Lord? Are they going to be so thoroughly deceived and disgusted by the lies that are in the church that they want nothing to do with God? Probably a lot of them. Probably a lot of them. And I think that's one of the things that really just gets me so upset. Is because I'm looking at people, young people, all ages, but Definitely she ministers to a lot of young people. And the deception that's running rampant. Why? Because they see power and they're so excited for power. Nothing new under the sun. God has not stopped being the God of power. Actually, the Bible says every word of God is power. Every word of God carries power. He has not stopped moving in power. Never has he stopped. And the arrogance of saying that the move of the Spirit, you know, stopped. It wasn't happening until she came along and now is power is coming. That's pretty arrogant. And I can't believe that people would just be okay with that. We can't be okay with that, church. Do you realize that there is a righteous anger? Do you realize that God does not want to see anyone be deceived? I'm talking in the church right now. Some of you are really uncomfortable right now. Maybe you're uncomfortable. Maybe you don't like messages like this. But you need to hear it. You need to hear it. Because you can't fall prey. Not under my watch. I'm not uncomfortable at all. Good, whoever said me neither. I'm not uncomfortable at all. Well, first of all, I know God spoke to me many years ago. You're a mouthpiece of God. But I will only speak when and how he tells me to. Because I'm not trying to bash people. I'm not trying to bring harm to the body and more division to the body of Christ. But there comes a point in time where God says the grace is up. Speak. I thank God for the level of discernment that he gave me. I'm going to give you some more scriptures. Before I do, though, I want to share this personal story. When I first heard of this individual, she started her church the same time we did, 2017. I had not heard of her before. And then I saw her on social media. And slow, but the moment I saw her, I'm like, I don't know. Something's not right. I didn't say anything. Then I saw a pretty quick growth, rapid increase. And I'm like, no, something's wrong. I didn't know what was wrong. I just knew something was wrong. And then the enemy started. You're just jealous. Speaking to me, you're just jealous. And immediately I said, Lord, am I jealous? And I asked the Lord. I didn't hear, yes, you're jealous. I didn't hear, but I still repented just in case. Because who am I to think that I might, do I always hear everything perfectly, right? So I still repented. Lord, am I jealous? What is going on here? Am I threatened by her? What's happening? Her church is growing leaps and bounds. People are just coming from everywhere. And I'm like, something's not right. I did not know about her spiritual father. I just knew. Every time I watched, I had to stop watching her. And I thought, gosh, am I jealous? That thing just would not leave me. I kept thinking, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just deceived. So I said, Lord, I repent. I don't think it's good for me to watch her because maybe I am jealous. So I'm just going to repent. I'm going to just not watch. I'm not going to watch her because, you know, maybe I need more healing. And I just kind of went into a period of just really praying and seeking the Lord. And Lord, show me if there's anything. And he never did. I never heard. He never showed me anything. It wasn't revealed by anybody else. It wasn't nothing. And just sure enough, it just kept growing, her ministry. And I'm seeing things. You know, now I'm seeing these little clips, these little videos going viral of people, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm like, how appalling. You know why? Because if that was me, I wouldn't want somebody broadcasting that. Like if you come to church because you want to get healed and you know, you're like, my gosh, I'm broken. And then, oh, wicked, you know, thing, something like that starts to take place. I doubt we all want that broadcasted. Some things are just private. And then so even with that, I said, okay, maybe because I'm older, I'm just maybe, you know, a little more conservative. You know, I was trying to find the reason to blame myself instead of her. Okay, maybe it's got to be me. It's got to be me. Something's got to be wrong with me. You know, I'm like, my goodness, those videos. Like, I'm horrified for the, do they have a job? I hope their employer doesn't see this. Do they have a wife, a family member? I feel horrible. And I thought, you know, it's got to be me. It's got to be, I am a private person. That's true. That makes me uncomfortable. And I'm not embarrassed of deliverance. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like, it's not, it's biblical, but I just think that we need to do it in, with taste. You know, let's be tactful about what we do and what we broadcast and what we zoom in, right? Because some things are supposed to be pure and just for the people there. That's why we have been very careful that although we are live, we're live right now. And although we have cameras and we have, you know, they'll come with their, they'll record things, we'll get testimonies. But you will not see a reel of somebody shaking and baking and horrifically just going through all this, just zoomed in for like a good long minute just so that we can focus on this individual. You might see a glimmer or like a little glimpse. Moving on to the next. We're not embarrassed of the move of the Spirit, but I think you need to honor the individual first and foremost and make sure that you're not causing this public display just for your own selfish gain. So anyway, I went through a period of time just really searching my own heart, saying, Lord, am I jealous? Is it just because I'm older and I'm just more private, you know? And I just couldn't watch her ministry. I just couldn't, because every time I'd get this, oh, it's this, I can't. It just made me angry. I just stopped watching. And then I started hearing all these other people starting to talk about her with a negative thing. In other words, the light bulb was starting to go on for some people. And they started bringing some truth. I'm like, oh. And the Lord showed me. He says, you are not jealous. And he reminded me of the prophet's mantle, not to doubt when I speak something to you, because you're not in this for your selfish gain. And I thought, Lord, yeah, forgive me. You know? So I knew. I thought, okay. I mean, thank you, Jesus. From the moment that I saw her, knew it was not of God. Now, of course, a lot of people are speaking about it. And I'm glad that they are. Not because I want her, not because I, like, it's not a personal attack against her, but because of the results, like what it's producing, a lot of deception in the church, what it's producing, a lot of kids that one day they're going to wake up and go, you know what, if that's religion, I don't want it. And that's not that, well, I guess it is religion, but it's not the spirit of truth. It is a religion. It's witchcraft. It's not the spirit of God. Is am I saying every single thing that she's done is not of God? I can't speak to that. I'm sure that there are some things that are good. But when the root, the foundation is witchcraft, when it's coming from a spirit of a warlock, you cannot trust that ministry. You cannot. The Bible says to mark and avoid them. So yes, as I started to hear more people like speak on it, I realized, oh, devil, you're so deceiving, you know? And I said, no, I'm so glad that I never took the bait. I had said, you know what, Lord, if I'm the only one then that sees this, because I didn't hear anybody talking negatively about her. I heard a lot of people, you know, this is so great, talking about for her, and this is a good thing. And I was like, nope, Lord, why don't they see it? Why don't they see it? Why don't they see it? And he said, it's the same reason they didn't see COVID. When it was COVID, I'm not going to go there. But when it was COVID, I felt like it was me against the world. It's not. There's people. God has his people everywhere. But wasn't it the majority that were deceived? Yes. Okay, let me move on. So I read Matthew 7:15, be aware of false prophets, lest they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Matthew 24:11, it says, and many false prophets will arise and deceive many. That's why I'm upset about this. And it's not me and my flesh being upset. My spirit is disturbed, because many are being deceived. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. This is where the church sometimes misses it. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Do you know the spirit of division is so wicked? It divides the church. It divides close friends. As a matter of fact, a divisive spirit in Proverbs chapter 6, the Lord says, is an abomination. Someone that comes in with the intent to bring division. Do you know that's what this individual that I spoke to you about that came here did and then lied about it to my face? But God told me she's a lying spirit. It's a lying spirit. We love everybody, but we don't allow everything to take place. We don't allow whatever to happen, whatever's going to happen. We love everybody. But we must give honor to the Lord and make sure that we're not bowing our knees to the devil in the process. So we love the people, but we're supposed to hate the sin. And in Ephesians 5:11, it says, and have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, that's a very strong scripture, isn't it? But we're called with the right heart and the right motive to expose, because you love the body of Christ and you are not willing to let their blood be on your hands. Now, that's an Old Testament scripture, not letting their blood be on your hands. That means when you know something is wrong and you don't sound the alarm. I've been sounding the alarm to the individuals that needed to hear it for years. Today he said, go public. I would not go public unless he told me. But having blood on your hands means you see error and you refuse to do anything about it, which means you're a part of that problem then. You're a part of the sin. But just because the Bible says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, lest pride creep into you, you make sure that your heart is clean and right first, and that you're coming about it with a place from a heart of purity, and you've done your own soul searching. Remember, when I first heard of her, and I first saw her the very first moment, and I had that just uncomfortable feeling in my stomach, I blame myself first. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just my go-to, you know. But at least I think that's the safer of the two than just assume I'm right. I think that's the safer of the two is to first search your own heart. I think that's biblical. Search your own heart. I know for me, just don't get stuck there. Maybe for some of you, just don't get stuck there. And I've had to learn not to get stuck there. So what have we done here today? We have done exactly what God has asked me to do. What have I done? I've done exactly what God has asked me to do. And to bring bring clarity, to expose what needs to be exposed. Do we hate this individual? No. But I don't like what she's doing. I'm completely opposed to what is happening. And it's not just her. It's an abuse. It's an abuse of the gifts. It causes the church that is kind of on the verge to even walking or believing that the gifts are for today to actually have a bad taste in their mouths for those that believe that they are true and are walking in the purity of the gifts. It sends a bad signal. It discredits. There's a lot of things that I can say that are wrong with what's taking place, like the byproduct, the result, the negative results, right? Those that are being deceived, those that thought they were serving the Lord but now are seeing they're actually not, they're serving another gospel, a false Jesus. Can anybody be saved into her ministry? Of course, God will move. He'll work through a donkey if he has to. He'll move however he wants, and he will get the glory. But I'm talking about the masses. There are a lot of people deceived. That's number one. But there are also others that don't understand the move of the Spirit, that because of that bad demonic example, and it is demonic, it's witchcraft. And because of that demonic witchcraft example, we'll say, you know what? If that's not of God, then none of this is. Don't you know that's what the devil wants? Don't you know he wants to discredit what's true? But we are told by the word, and we just read it, to have spiritual maturity so that we can discern, rightly discern. The move of the Spirit is not new. It has always taken place. Even when in the court of Pharaoh, when God told him to go, there's going to be miracles that are going to happen in your life, and he sheepishly went, fear and trembling, because he was a man of God and a man of honor. It wasn't about his name. And he did what God told him to do, and there was miracles that took place. And then the court's magicians came, and they duplicated the miracles, but they were false. In other words, the source was not pure. But was the source still manifesting and producing miracles? Yes. Can you go to a psychic today? Can they read your future? And can they be accurate? 100%. Is it of God? 1,000 times no. It's an abomination. So what is it then? Why would a psychic have such an ability? Why would a magician be able to duplicate the work of God? Why would it be able to duplicate miracles then? The gift comes from the Lord. It's called the prophet. It's called moving in signs and wonders. The gift originally comes from the Lord, but witchcraft, it ends up becoming witchcraft for some because the source is not of Jesus. In other words, their heart was all about them. They wanted to shine. They wanted to be the big ta-da. They wanted to be the one that has the limelight. It was all the pride, pride, pride. Why did Satan fall? Why did Lucifer fall? Pride, pride, pride. I will be like God. I will be like God. I will be like God. And he fell. And he took others with him, other angels. So the root of all of this is pride, isn't it? God gives us what's pure. The gifts and the callings of God that come to us without repentance, those gifts are of God. He's the source. He's the originator. He's the one that gives us these every good and perfect gifts, that gift that we love to sing and speak, that scripture. But we must never think that we own it, that gift, that it's because of us, that we're so great and the anointing on our life is so powerful and this and that. We are all called to be anointed. But the anointing comes from the Lord. We're all called to be anointed. But the anointing is, who is the anointed one? Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one. He is the anointed one, capital A, right? And so the anointing is going to come from him. So it's not ours. He's given unto us what he has given unto us with the understanding that we'll give God glory and not ourselves. And that's where things go kind of awry for a lot of people. Power rushes to people's heads. I mean, we know that. Fame rushes to people's heads. Wanting to be somebody, striving to be somebody. The devil will make sure that you do think you are somebody, but it's just not somebody that's holy. And that's not acceptable. So church, I know this was a hard message, strong message, but I also know it was the right message that I needed to speak to bring clarity if there needed to be any clarity to anyone, whether you're here in person watching the live or those that will watch the replay. But like I said, I only speak when God tells me to speak, but this is something that's been stirring in me for years. But I pray, we are to pray for her. Pray for repentance. Pray for conviction. Pray for a separation of ungodly characters, and that is the right word to use, characters that are in her life that she calls spiritual father. That is horrendous. And if I go there, I'll start again with this righteous indignation, this righteous anger, because it's deceptive to well-meaning people. Enforcers, arise. God carries power, militant power, to destroy every army that tries to come against you, every assignment, every tactic, every scheme, every wicked agenda. Jesus has qualified us. That blood that he shed on that cross qualified us. What for what? To be partakers? The Spirit of the living God is the power of God, and it works. We have to choose to partner with the Lord. We are enforcing the Word of God, the name of Jesus.